Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word. Man who played his violin and he played it strongly. He played it courageously, and he played it well. And as he played this song and he played it, everybody in the room stood up and they were applauding with excitement, and the whole room was in pandemonium, but just one person. And so the man, he looked around, he saw all the approval and applause of everyone except that one person, and he went back behind the stage and he was grieved. And so his friends came to him and said, hey, wait a minute, man, what's wrong with you? All of these people are standing, they are applauding you, they are praising you, they are encouraged by what you did. Why are you downcasted? He said, you don't understand. I was only playing for one person. And that was my teacher. And my teacher didn't stand up and he wasn't pleased. Wouldn't it be interesting to spend your whole life getting people to praise you, but the one that's to praise you says, I'm not pleased? Wouldn't it be a sad situation to take 2015 and think about all your goals and aspirations, think about all the things you want to accomplish, but all those things are rooted in one place, and that is in the place of you and not God's glory. Wouldn't it be a shame to take this life? Let me pull this out of here, because I was just going to create drama on 2015. But we know drama, don't we? Let's see if we can just pause for just a moment and stop all the drama. Maybe we put it on the side here. All right, come on, come on. Nothing like being back home with drama. But wouldn't it be interesting if you looked at your life and you asked the question, who am I trying to please? I mean, let's be honest. Everybody in this room has an audience. And that audience are the people you live and die for. That audience are the people you're concerned about what they think of you. That audience are the people that you worry about. That audience are the people that you're embarrassed with. That audience are the people that if nobody else is okay, they have to be okay with you. Who is that in your life? I want you to turn for just a moment, because I want you to see this, and this is not part of the sermon, but this is going where we want to go. I want you to turn to the book of James for just a moment, because when we start to look at this life that we have, and we start to think about 2015, and we start to think about who we are and where we're going, there's some specific things that we need to consider, and I want to bring it together for you in just a moment. I want you to think about this. Go to James chapter 4 for a moment, and look at verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Notice what he says, and this is not the text. This is just a kind of sidebar. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Verse 14, yet you do not know that your life, what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I want to go there for a moment, because I need you to understand something about your life. Your life is just a moment. And everything you have planned can be snatched within 24 hours. Now, let me make this plain to you. We started back from vacation saying, Lord, here's what we're going to do when we get home. Here's what we're going to do when we get home. And on the way back, I started having some chest pains. And we said, okay, not going to panic. God's in control. We're on the way back. So then, well, here's what we'll do. We will do this. We'll plan to do this. And then before you know it, I was at the urgent care. okay, well, that takes us aside for a moment. And then the next thing you know, within the 24 hours, they're saying to me, you've got gallstones. We got to take your gallbladder out. Now, here's what's interesting. Praise God that it was just gallbladder removal and not a heart attack. But the point I'm making is we had plans. We had a direction. There was a place that we were going to go, but God said, wait a minute, I want you to understand something. Your life is in my hands, and you know what I had to do? I had to do some evaluation. Lord, how am I living? Because, see, I couldn't move. See, in the hospital, you can't move. You got to be still. And I had some reflection time while I was sitting there. Lord, is my life moving in a direction that is pleasing to you? And if it is, Lord, could you affirm that? Lord, in the areas where it's not moving where you want, can you affirm that? Because you've helped me remember something. My life is not my own. My plans are just that, my plans. If your will doesn't line up with my plans, guess who has to make the adjustment? And so for you and I wanted to come this morning by getting back to understanding something. Whose life are you living? And have you come to accept one simple reality? Your life is not your own. Now, why is that important for you and I? Because we cannot make it in 2015. We cannot be at the level in 2015 we were designed to be if we don't yield to the reality that our worlds are not our own. Our plans belong to the Lord. Our lives belong to the Lord. And if we're not willing to live in a way that is pleasing to Him, we will find ourselves like an old Atlantic Star song. Circles. Going around in circles. Now, for you and I got to take that theme because I want you to think about your life. Your life is like that. If you had to stand before God and give an account of 2014, how much of 2014 was lived accomplishing God's agenda? And how much of 2014 was lived accomplishing your agenda? Can you distinguish between God's agenda and your agenda? Or has it become so muzzled up that you think your agenda is His agenda, His agenda is your agenda, and you can't distinguish? Are you at a place where you can say, you know what? When I look back over the 12 months of 2014, here is what God wanted. Here is how I lived that out to His glory. Here is where I fell short. Here is where God was pleased. Here is my life before Him. And you know what? I'm at peace with where I am. Or would you say, you know, man, it was too much about me in 2014. And the evidence that was much about me are the things that I'm still consumed with in 2015 from 2014. Or have I said, you know what? Today, Lord, is your day. I want to go there because we're going to start a series for the next few weeks called Christianity 101. And I want us to begin to get back to the basics. Because sometimes what happens in any sports, in any life situation, in anything you do, there are basic things you learn. And sometimes you get away from the basics and you get caught up in other things. And when you get away from the fundamentals, you start making some fundamentally terrible mistakes. Any football team, any baseball team, any basketball team, there are fundamental things they have to learn. And when they start to get too fancy and forget the disciplines, they start losing games.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they teach you how to play the piano. No person can freestyle on the piano until they first learn the disciplines. And once you learn the disciplines, you got to have the disciplines so much in place that you can freestyle because the disciplines are so much a part of you. But if you just learn the disciplines but don't live the disciplines, you can't really freestyle in life. Many of us, we're freestyling. We've gotten away from the disciplines. We've gotten away from the basic reality of what God called us to. And I want us to get back. And I want us to begin to think. For many of you, maybe you didn't know. For many of you, this is new. For many of you, this is old. But as we come through it together, here is our agenda for 2015. We want to get back to the fundamental things of the faith. And not just on an individual level, but on a corporate level. So my question to you is, what is the point of life? One of those philosophical existential questions that people ask, but we as a church need to be able to answer that clearly. What is the point of life? Why do not we exist? We got to make this personal. Why do you exist? Why do you think God has allowed you to stay alive so long? Why do you think God has allowed you, in all of the choices you've made and all the choices you should have made, all the choices you've made right and wrong, why do you think God has allowed you to have and not have what you have right now in life? See, Christianity, the basics, will help us to begin to flow back to that reality. As we come to that today, my challenge to us as we look at our first insight into this whole concept, the first question, what is, number one, the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Why do I exist? Here's a simple reality. It says here, you were created to bring what? Glory to God in the areas of life that you want. Is that what it says? In all aspects of life. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, you were created for His glory. So you know what that means? To be created for God's glory, that means that God created you so that when people see you, they see the very character and nature of Him. You exist not so that people can see you and your accomplishments. You exist so that people can see the very character of God when they are interacting and connecting with you. Romans 11:36 says, all things are from Him, to Him, and through Him. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we look at this together, look at letter A. So when we talk about glorifying God, it means to demonstrate the greatness of His character. Watch this. God keeps you around because He wants the world to see Him through you. God keeps you around because He wants everybody to understand how great He is as they check out how you live your life. God hasn't let you die yet. God hasn't let you fall in yet. God hasn't let you fail yet, because He is using you to bring the world to see how great and mighty He is. God keeps getting you out of your situations that you put yourself in, not so much because He cares about you, because He does, but His glory and reputation is at stake. And because His glory and reputation is at stake, and He chose you to bring glory to Himself, He's keeping you. But we thought it was because we were so special. God is keeping us because His name is on the line. But why do you exist? For His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do it all for what? What does that mean? It means whatever you do, do it all that people see Christ when they see you. Why do we exist? We exist, ladies and gentlemen, to bring glory to God, to demonstrate the greatness of His character. Now watch this, letter B, to demonstrate the greatness of God's character by functioning according to God's design in all aspects of life. When God looks at how you eat, when God looks at how you talk, when God looks at your marriage, when God looks at your money, when God looks at your ministry, when God looks at every area of your life, here's the reality. Can we see the nature of Christ in every area of your life? Watch this. When you brush your teeth and comb your hair, do you do it like Jesus? That's how deep this thing goes. When you're dealing with folk on the job, when things are difficult in life, do you begin to make excuses and say, well, in that moment, because of the pressure? Or do you say, in the pressure, God's moment is going to be revealed? See, all of this is so that the world says, you know what, there's something different about you. When you do stuff, I notice that everybody else goes off, but you don't. I don't understand. It's simple, because I see life from a different perspective. See, I know the one that controls everything, and nothing is happening unless God allows it or ordains it. So you know what? I know how to accept what God allows, endure what he brings, enjoy the blessings, endure the difficulty while I live, not for man, but for him. So even when life is bad, it's still good. Because the one who keeps me has said, you know what? For a little while, you got to go through this. Now, I've determined what's little and I've determined what's for a while. But as you go through this, something good is on the other side, because I'm always up to something good in your life. So if you understand I'm always up to something good, even when things are bad, you can rejoice. Why? Because you know at the end of the day, it won't always be like this. And at the end of the day, I will bring things into your life. Watch this, where you learn to be satisfied even when things are unacceptable around you. Wouldn't it be nice to have a satisfaction of the soul apart from people and circumstances? Would you like to have that? Amen. See, that's yours. That's something you can have from God. But guess what? It's a learned process. And you know how you learn it? You got to grow through, not just go through. See, when you grow through, you understand some things. Here's what I wanted. Here's what I have. Here's what I don't like. Here's what I have to accept. Here's what God is doing. Here's what it's about. It's always about my character, and it's always about my faith in him. And you know what? Because he's doing this for his glory and my good, the ultimate good is I'm going to be so satisfied in my soul apart from people and circumstances, they can't rock me anymore. Where everybody else is moving around crazy, I'll be at home asleep. Don't you see what's going on? I sure do. But the God who's in control of it all sees it and controls it. I'm going to bed. Aren't you upset? Why should I be upset? God told me I was going to have good days and bad days. God told me people were going to be nice and nasty. God told me that I was going to have it and not have. God told me so much I can accept the reality and be at peace, because the world doesn't revolve around people and circumstances. It revolves around his glory. And I've surrendered myself to his will and his way. Isn't that what discipleship is? Taking up the cross. We'll talk about that next week. Following him. So why do I exist? Why do you exist? To demonstrate the greatness of his character in all aspects. To glorify him. Look at letter C. Here's the next thing we see with this. To demonstrate the greatness of God's character by serving others according to God's design and all aspects of life, resulting in men giving high praise and honor to God as a result of your service. Now think about this. When you serve to please God, you're all right when people don't appreciate you. Because your satisfaction comes in being able to give, not in what people think about you giving. Let me see if I can make it plain. I preach to y'all the same way I preach to 2,000 or 3,000 when I travel the country. There's no difference from here to there. You know why? Because I can't wait for Sunday morning. Whether it's two of y'all here or 90 of you here, I can't wait for Sunday morning. There's so much pleasure in giving the truth of God's word. There's so much pleasure in saying this is what God has revealed, because that's why I exist. I exist to serve you with truth. There's no other reason why I should live. With all of my life, with all the things that God can hold account, I don't exist for any other reason that through this ministry of giving of truth, that people may know him, become like him, be useful to him. Through me giving the word, through me being involved in people's life, I exist for no other reason. And you know what? It brings me joy to do it for you. Does that make sense? So whether there's 2 or 20,000, I get the same set. Let me see if I can put it this way. Whether there's one chocolate chip cookie or 12, they all taste good. Am I making sense to you? If you don't know where you fit in God's kingdom, you won't have that satisfaction in your soul. And you'll be spinning your wheels with the pie in the sky mentality, trying to find meaning where meaning won't exist. Your purpose is tied to your God. Your satisfaction is tied to your God. When you take it away from that and put it in people and circumstances, your life will be miserable. Because God wants more for your life than people and circumstances. They are a means to his end. Am I making sense to you? You ever notice how men get, how can I put it, arrogant when they have fine clothes? How people can be arrogant when they have exotic animals? Or they can be really, really arrogant when they have a nice home. And I saw, and I haven't heard of this before, it's in California, I'm sure it's around the country, but some friends of mine have a smart house. I never even heard of a smart house. That's, it does all this stuff for you now where you don't have to think about it. It's like, this is amazing, but they got all these things, and you could get proud unless you understand something. The house gives glory to the designer. It has nothing to do with you. The car gives glory to the designer. That's BMW. That's not you. You understand what I'm saying? The clothes gives glory to the designer. You didn't make the clothes. You just put them on. The clothes are showing somebody else. If we start to understand that, then we'd start to look at our lives and say, you know what? My life wasn't meant for people to see me. My life was meant for people to see God. You exist. Number one reason you exist is not for your own happiness, but for the glory of God, which will bring you happiness in the end. So we talk about the purpose of life. Let's take a look at number two. Are y'all with me so far? The objective. So then if that's the purpose of life, if that's why I'm here, if this Christianity 101, why I exist, then second part is, what are the overarching goals I need to accomplish to fulfill my purpose? Why am I here? What do I need to be doing? Well, what's the goal? What should I be thinking about from 2015 to 2000 whatever? What should be my agenda? If I'm here to please God, if I'm here to bring glory to him, then how and what do I need to do to accomplish this? Secondly, it says you are to focus on pleasing God through seeking three things. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a moment, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Are y'all with me so far? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, I want you to see Paul. Paul makes a very profound statement here. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be what? Now, let me paraphrase what he just said. My goal, dead or alive, is to please God. Whether I'm alive or dead, I want God pleased. That is my ambition. I wake up in the morning thinking, how may I please God? I go to bed at night asking myself, was God pleased today? Now stick around there and go to verse 15. Staying in the same passage, he says this. And he died. He, personal pronoun, Jesus Christ. So that all who live what? In him. Might no longer live for who? But for him who died and arose. If you are here to please God, then your objectives in life is to please him by three things. Number one, you're to know him intimately. Know him. But what does that mean to know him? John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you may know him. Here's what we're talking about. We're not talking about stimulating your mind with more book knowledge about things of God. We're talking about making that book knowledge real, where, again, some people understand his grace from a theological perspective. Some folk know his grace because they've seen him move in their life. And so where others are reading about the grace of God, others are worshiping the grace of God because they say, you know what? I know that God. Let me make it plain to you. I know God is faithful. Now, I can show you in the Bible, scripture upon scripture upon scripture, where God reveals himself to be faithful, but I can tell you from personal experience, when I worship God in spirit and truth, one of the things I worship him for is, Lord, you are faithful. And I start giving an account of my life. I start giving an account of things that have happened all over my life. And all the years, Lord, you were faithful there. You were faithful there. You were faithful there. And Lord, I see it. And I have come to experience on an intimate level the faithfulness of God. And so when things start coming up and it starts to look tragic and it starts to look crazy, I just start saying, okay, Lord, what you got up for me this year? Because obviously you're up to something good. I haven't been here before. And you're about to do something great. Now, when people say, Lord, I want to know you. We don't understand what that means a lot of times. Philippians, I want to know him. The power of his resurrection, we like that. But what's the next part of that? The fellowship of what? Oh, what a fellowship. Fellowship means what? Joining in. Connected to. See, to know Jesus is not just to know the blessings of doing for you and solving your problems and easing your pain. To know him is to understand the suffering that comes for living for him, living with him. The suffering that comes when you have to make a decision to obey God and others around you want to disobey God. When you have to make decisions that may cost you your life, your reputation. Because you say, you know what, if I do this, that'll make man happy, but it will displease God. If I do this, it may please God and make man unhappy. Which will I choose today? That, ladies and gentlemen, is the kind of life that we're called to. See, knowing him means I've moved beyond intellectual understanding. Here's the second part of that. Not only knowing him, but watch this. Becoming like him. See, if you know what your Christianity is like, if we get back to the basics, Christianity starts with, I get to experience the reality of God as I go through life with people and circumstances, and God makes himself known through people and circumstances. And as he makes himself known, I don't just watch it, I start to embrace it. See, the Israelites saw God do a lot of stuff, but they never embraced who God was. That's why they were always freaking out every time something happened. Because God would deliver them, deliver them, deliver them, deliver them. And then when a tragedy hit, they'd freak out, freak out, freak out. Blame the leadership. Freak out, blame the leadership. God delivers them. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Things get bad again. Blame the leadership. Freak out, freak out, freak out. Get mad. Versus saying, wait a minute. If God delivered me from Egypt, through this water, and he's telling me to take me to the promised land, and I've seen him deliver, I've seen him, let me embrace what I've already seen and embrace that he will do again, because he's consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So you know what? I can rest even when things are in an unrest around me. But to become like him says, you know what? Now let me start to be in my attitude what he is in his attitude. Let me start to be in my conversations what he is in his conversations. Let my character begin to look like him, because in knowing him, I should begin to be like him, because that's what he called me to. He didn't deliver me from sin to stay the same way I was. That doesn't bring glory to him. I was watching this show last night. I was, I don't know what station it was. But this guy was having some struggles with homosexuality, and his pastor was too scared to go on TV to talk to him about it. So then they turned around, and it was some reality show, and they turned around, and then the pastor was saying, we don't care where you go and what you do. We're going to be here for you and love on you. I'm sitting saying, he punked out. Straight up. He punked out. He had a chance as a pastor to say, look, I love you, and this is a sin. And you're struggling, and we can help you through the process. This is something that isn't right, but through the power of God, we can help you walk in what's right. Homosexuality is something you chose, is not who you are, and we can help you through the power of God. For such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6 says. And I want to love you through this process. But that will bring too much heat. Because what is the culture trying to do? It's trying to push it down our throats. Yeah. make us accept it. And see, I'm not all high into trying to fight homosexuality, because see, whether you're homosexual or whoremonger, I'm going to deal with you the same.
Amen.
You follow me? So folks say, "Are you? What do you think about homosexual?" Same thing I think about a whoremonger. You can't shack up and be a community of faith Bible church, like you can't sleep with men and be a community faith Bible. It doesn't matter to me. It's all the same. I want you to know him and become like him and to be useful to him, as we'll see in a moment. I'm not picking and choosing which one. I'm looking at what the Bible says. And see, that's the thing that we as Christians get involved in. We're going to go and attack on one thing. Why are you going to attack one thing? Maybe that's your issue, and so you want to attack it to make you feel better about you. Won't you deal with it in you? We got a whole lot of stuff we need to be working on. I'm not going out picking on homosexuals. If anything, I want to love on them. Hey, man, look, let me help you.
Amen.
And guess what? I want to do the same thing for the whoremonger. Hey, whoremonger, let me help you.
Amen.
I want to do that for the one that's stealing. Hey, man, that's stealing, let me help you. It ain't just one thing. You need to be delivered so you can develop. And if we belong to Jesus Christ, we've been delivered so that we can develop in knowing him and becoming like him. What does that look like? Areas of our character, conduct, conversations, commitments, and care, we start to change. And guess what God is using every year from 2012 to 2015? People and circumstances are God's tool to change you. I don't know if we've understood that yet. Now repeat it, because I want you to get it. Hopefully you go back over the sermon and say, boy, he used that a lot. Because I want you to understand, that's the God's method of changing and building character. That's God's method of helping us grow to know him. We always got to deal with people and circumstances. And we're always trying to change people and circumstances, and God keeps saying, no, I'm trying to change you through people and circumstances. Once you learn who I am and who I am not, as you learn to endure and enjoy through people and circumstances, you will know me better. You will become like me. And watch this, the third thing, you'll be useful to me. You were delivered from sin to know him intimately, to become like him in character, and to be useful to him. Have you noticed what's third on the list? Because see, some people want to be useful, but their character's raggedy. God is not interested in service without character. He's interested in service that comes from character. God is promoting character, not service, because he doesn't need us. You understand that, right? God uses us because he chooses to, not because he has to. And God's agenda is that he is glorified. And how is he glorified? He's glorified through people and circumstances. So guess what? He wants to use you to connect with people in their circumstances so that you can help them to be like him. Because guess what happens? You come to an unbeliever and they're going through something difficult, and you start to connect with them and build a relationship, and you begin to give what God has given you to give them. What happens? If God allows, they begin to see the need to be delivered from sin. And now they have become a Christian. So then what do we help them to do? Let's show you who he is. Now that you see who he is and you're learning, let's show you the things you need to stop doing and start doing in your character. Because see, you can't do that, sister, brother, anymore. I understand what it used to be. But see, you have a new life and a new position. So this new life and new position, it doesn't fit that old thing that used to happen over here. So we're not playing the do's and don'ts anymore. You know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go where girls are due. See, we're not going there. It's a little deeper. Because of who you are, that doesn't fit you anymore. So you don't do this not because you shouldn't and it's wrong. You don't do this because it shouldn't and it's wrong, but because now you want to move into being like him, and he doesn't live this way. And that lifestyle is beneath you now, because of the new person you are. Y'all hear me? So then when you connect with folks, you say, yeah, I used to do those things. You did? I said, now when young people, they start talking about all the little games they used to do, and I said, I used to do that. I said, but see, and you're doing it wrong. See, if you're really going to get over, this is what you should have did. But let me help you. That's what I used to do. Now, do I have desires to do it again? Sure. But my desire to love overrides my desire to manipulate. I don't understand. Well, it's simple. When God delivers you, he also allows you to have that fleshly tendencies. And now you don't have to obey the wickedness in your heart. You choose to obey the wickedness in your heart. And the more you get to know him, the less desire you have for that which is in your heart. It's still there. But the intensity dies because you want to know him, become like him, and you care about people. You know what I was thinking about when I was in the hospital? And it was like God was showing me my life being just a vapor. I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. I'm listening. And one of the things that came clear to me is this. I can't do all the things that I want to do to please God and serve people if my body is out of order. Does that make sense? All the ideas in the world are great. All the running and the going to this school and going to that conference and teaching and counseling. All of that stuff is good. But if I don't do the first things, it's over. You know what that made me think about? How much of our plans in our own lives of what we want to do can be hindered like that because we're reaping and sowing in sin? You understand what I'm saying? And there's a harvest. So one thing I'm learning about God, God always allows you to experience the harvest of the life you've lived. Whatever you've done, it will come back. That ain't karma. That's Bible. You understand what I'm saying? If you've been nasty to people, guess what? Not only will you get it back, you get more than what you gave. Because see, God is such one of those good, loving God. He always gives you more than what you give. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So I start thinking, what kind of fruit, what kind of things am I sowing? See, I saw it with the food thing. Yeah, I've been changing over the years and getting adjusted, but see, God had to let me see a residue of some of the ways I'd been living came back to haunt me. Am I making sense to you? I said, you know what? I need to adjust this a little bit because see, I can see the reaping and sowing, but I also see the mercy and grace of God. Now, I'm asking and saying this to you and sharing this with you. What have you been sowing? Have you been sowing a life of selfishness and preoccupation with yourself? Because see, here's what happens. The more consumed you are with yourself, you get real upset when other folk don't tend to think about you as they should. But that's what you've been reaping and sowing. You ain't been thinking about nobody else. You follow me? But the more you invest in the lives of people to the glory of God and the benefit of them, do you know it comes back? But watch this. You're not doing it to get something back. You're doing it because your heart was in the right place. That's being useful to God. As you invest in the lives of people, people invest in your life. Why? Because God puts them on your heart. I got calls from around the country saying, I don't know what's going on, but I have been moved to pray for you. Can you tell me what? And I'm saying to myself, so Lord, you put my life in the minds of people and they start praying, not understanding all the details, but you gave me a message. You got people looking out for me that I don't even know looking out for me. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because these same people are people over the years that I've given up my life and time to for nothing more than just to invest in their lives. Wasn't looking for nothing, wasn't trying to get a pat on the back, just because of my pleasure of serving out of my gifts, and God allowed it to come back in different ways. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? But this is part of a life of knowing him, becoming like him, and third, being useful to him. Let me break down being useful in a very specific, practical way. You are to build relationships with people. That's your whole life. And these relationships have a greater agenda than what's for you. The WIIFM. What's in it for me? Your relationships were meant to be about, if this person doesn't know Jesus Christ, how can I invest in them so that God may use me to bring them to faith? If the person knows Jesus Christ, how can God use me as a builder to help them to be more of what God wants them to be? And watch this. As you do that along the way, you enjoy each other. Enjoying each other should be secondary to serving each other, not the other way around. You get my point? We make enjoying primary and serving optional. And we hook up and break up because we don't enjoy anymore. But when we have as a mentality, wait a minute, my relationships are precious because they are something spiritual going on here. Every person in my life, I have an agenda with. If they don't know Jesus, I be the light in dark places, that ambassador. If they know Jesus, I invest. Watch this. What should be said about you is, since I've met you, my life is not the same. I know more about the Savior and know about my, more about myself than I've ever known before. Since I've met you. Since I've met you, I'm beginning to see things a whole lot differently. I'm beginning to see life from another perspective. That's what should be said about you. Second to, boy, we have a good time when we're with so-and-so. I like hanging with them because we have fun. And I ain't saying nothing is wrong with having fun. Because if anybody like to have fun, I play hard and work hard. Because I'm going to tell you, I love y'all, but I wasn't thinking about y'all for that last 4 weeks. I had fun. I'd send a shout out, Lord. Keep the church. Amen. As we in the Bahamas, man. Yeah, man. But the point I'm making is life has to be more than my personal pleasure if I'm going to have the deep satisfaction that God called me to, because he designed me to know him, to become like him, to be useful to him. You know, that's Christianity 101. That's why you exist. You got to ask yourself the question, what have I learned about God's character? Not intellectually, but in reality. Where have I begun to become more like him through the year? Because he put me through some stuff. Ask yourself the question. He let me go through some challenges in 2014 with people and circumstances. Now, out of those challenges, is my character better or worse? Am I more like him or not? Then you start asking the third question. How did I use what God gave me in the lives of people? Did anybody get saved? Did anybody learn about him? Did anybody grow in him as a result of my relationship? Or was my whole life revolved around my own agendas? Wouldn't it be sad, guys, to climb the ladder of success to only discover you've climbed up the wrong building? Wouldn't that be a sad situation? What if God is saying to you this morning, as the Jacksons said, I want you back? What if God is calling you back to the basics of Christianity 101? Let me close now with the third process of this. So I wanted you to look at this. So far we've seen this. If we're going to understand this life that God called us to, Christianity 101, we have been created to bring God glory. He wants us to demonstrate his character in all aspects of life, that when people see us, they see him. And the way we accomplish that is by seeking to please him in three areas: to know him intimately, to become like him, to be useful to him. Now, let's make this real plain. How in the world do we do this? Number three, the process of life. What steps do I need to take to accomplish my overarching goals, to fulfill my purpose? Watch this. You must hear what to obey, then obey what you what? Hear. Can I make it real simple for you? Your life would be so much better if you submit to authority and follow instructions. That's not complicated, is it? Why you get that speeding ticket? Because you didn't what? Submit to authority and follow instructions. Why are you having problems on the job with your boss? Because you didn't what? Submit to authority and what? Follow instructions. Why you having problems in school? Because you didn't do what? Why are you having problems in the marriage? Why you having problems in the family? See, when you start to break things down, if you would submit to God's authority, whatever that is, whether it be person or abstract, and follow his instructions, so much of your life would be stable and at peace. Now, everybody else around you may be chaotic, but you would be all right. And God has made it very simple for us. I've got a plan for you. If you do what I tell you, you will experience what I want you to experience, and the stability and satisfaction you keep looking for through people and circumstances, it will be guaranteed to you. So what's the third thing? How do we do this? In closing, learn the truth of God. What does God say? Live the truth of God. Love others through the truth of God. It's just that simple. When you look at your life, God has been trying to say some things to you, and the truth has been there. Are you living what he said? Are you loving others according to what he said? As you do that, you will bring glory to him. As you do that, you will know him. You will become like him. You will be useful to him. You will begin to fulfill the great agenda that God has given. How many of you remember that story, Alice in Wonderland? Y'all remember that? You remember that question that Alice asked? Let me read it to you. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? Here's what the Cheshire Cat says. That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go. Where are you trying to go? See, if you really are a Christian, and life is really about pleasing him, are you ready to submit this year to his will and his way? Are you ready to be a disciple that he's called you to be? Now watch this. Let me tell you something. You're going to have some issues when you do. Because everybody around you is not as excited about Jesus as you are. You understand that? The devil is not as excited about Jesus as you are. You understand what I'm saying? And your flesh is not that excited. So as soon as you get serious, things will turn against you. Always think about the people around you that don't follow him. Always think about the places you have to be because of obligation where they don't serve him, and expect opposition. What happens with most people when we get serious, we don't think it's going to be opposition. We just think it was our decision. Oh, I'm just going to get serious about Jesus today and everything's going to be okay. No. The people and circumstances that you were standing in against Jesus will now stand against you as you walk with Jesus. But you know what? God promises to give you what you need. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring together this basic way of life. And here's what I guarantee you guys. If you're willing to do this, here's what I guarantee. You're going to have so much peace. You're going to have so much joy and satisfaction. Watch this. Apart from what two things? Notice what I didn't promise. It's not going to be through people and circumstances. But if you do what you need to do, you're going to have, I mean, you're going to be at peace. Life will be so wonderful when it's even so crazy. Not because of the people finally seeing that you were right and they were wrong. Not because circumstances go just the way you want, but because you stop trying to control the uncontrollable. Yeah. And you stop trying to live for people and circumstances and asking God to change them. You start living according to God's agenda. Amen. I am a disciple. You are a disciple. Know him. Become like him. Be useful to him. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. You've given us the power to know you, to become like you, to be useful to you. You have called us to your glory. You've made it simple. We learn, we live, we love. Help us to follow the model. So that at the end of the day, Lord, you are glorified, we're edified, and the devil horrified as we stand in one with you. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713-510-4021. Or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Allen saying God bless you and have a great day.